Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, July 27th, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today we're talking romantic relationships for people over 50. That is my crowd, and I'm talking about it with Dr. Pauline Everett. Her debut book is Finding and Keeping Romantic Love, Relationship Tips for People Over 50, and we'll talk all about it right after this quick break.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
And you are tuned in to Michigan Literary Network Radio for July 27, 2016. My guest today is Dr. Pauline Everett, author of Finding and Keeping Romantic Love, Relationship Tips for People Over 50. Dr. Pauline Everett is a psychotherapist, lecturer, educator, mediator, and life coach. She has more than 30 years' experience specializing in counseling adults and couples. Dr. Everett has advanced training in yoga and psychotherapy, couples counseling, and mindfulness-based techniques. She often includes these approaches in her counseling. Dr. Everett has a postgraduate certificate in mediation and conflict resolution and is trained in the Gottman's Method of Couples Counseling. And I want to welcome Dr. Pauline Everett to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I am so glad you're here. We have been talking about this for months now. It's been months.
We have, and it's happened.
It's happening. That is so good. So let's get into this. You have more than 30 years experience in as a therapist, specializing in couples counseling. Why was now the time to write this book, Dr. Everett, Finding and Keeping Romantic Love? Why was it now?
You know, that's an interesting question, Andrea. It had been on the back of the back burner for a very long time. And I, about 5 years ago, I expanded to include life coaching in the range of services that I offer and got a coach myself. And in working with that coach, this dream that had been on the back burner for so long came alive. And so I then began to focus on making this happen for me. And I think the wonderful thing about that is that that helped me to see what coaching can really do for someone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that is interesting. So you being coached by someone helped you bring out what it was that you actually had been wanting to do. That's great. That is
for
coaching,
a very long time. And you know how you get busy with other things, and it's always it can sometimes be easier not to do that new thing. And that's the space that the coach helped me to create.
Wow, that is so good. So why, though, the focus on the over 50 age group?
Well, it's my age group.
Why not?
And many of my friends are certainly in that age group, and clients as well. And one of the things that I find is that sometimes once we get more mature and we maybe don't have a partner, sometimes we've had those life experiences that sort of begin to say to us, oh, it's not going to happen. It can't happen for you. If it was going to happen, it would have. You know, there are no more good men out there, or there are no more good women out there. Occasionally I hear that. So I started to think, well, you know, maybe there is something that people in that age group, that's specific to them, some tools and some tips that can help them look at the challenges that they face, either getting into the dating world or in enriching a relationship that maybe has just become a little stale.
Ah, I see. So, and you just led me so nicely into my next question, because this is something that I've been wondering about. Do you think, or have you found, or is it a myth that it's actually harder to find romantic love, maybe keep it if you do find it, at when you're 50 and over?
Well, you know, in some ways I think that's sort of a statistical question, you know, in terms of how many eligible people are there for other eligible people. But let's put that one aside for a while, because, you know, one thing is always true. It's we only need one man or one woman. So even though the statistics may be stacked a little against us, we only need that one.
Right.
So what it is really is getting the stuff out of the way. So, and the stuff being all of our misbeliefs and all of our fears and preconceptions, get those out of the way so that when Mr. or Miss Wright shows up, we're in a place to be able to recognize that and to move on it.
Ah, okay, because, you know, that saying, we've all got our baggage. Everybody's got baggage.
Yes.
Sometimes. And what I hear you saying is that we have to unpack that baggage so that we can have the relationship that we're looking for. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Because otherwise, you know, those things blind us. We're looking through the lens of our past experience. We're looking through the lens of our hurts and our fears. And that blinds us to possibility. So if we can sort of move those to the side, we don't have to forget them or do away with them, actually. In some ways, they can serve us, but so that they're not blocking our vision, right? Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Get them out to the side so they're not blocking our vision. So in your book, you discuss something called the gremlin. What is the gremlin, and how does it affect one's thinking about relationships?
It's so key. The gremlin is really, we each have one, number one, and it's like an internal critic, and it's always whispering things in our ear. Now, unfortunately, most of the time the stuff it's whispering is self-defeating in nature. So it's saying things like, well, if you were going to have a relationship, you would have had one by now. It's saying things like, you're too old, why don't you just go learn to knit? It's saying things like, all the good men are taken, or all the good women are taken. So it's that internal critic that seems to operate in a way that can hold us back. Now, I think the thing that occurred to me while writing this book is that I don't see the gremlin as really a foe. What I see it as is a friend on steroids. And what I mean by that is that it's really seeking to protect you. that it wants to call to your attention things that you need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can listen from that perspective, not let it run the show, realize that it's really attempting to help us not make the same mistakes again or new mistakes, then we can listen to what it has to say, thank it for sharing, and keep on moving.
Mm-hmm. That is such an interesting concept because, you know, we hear the conversations about, you know, negative self-talk and how to get around that. But what you're saying is, you know, don't push it aside, but listen to it for what it's trying to do. It's trying to protect us. Not necessarily, because a lot of times we see that gremlin or the negative self-talk as trying to, and like you did say, it's trying to hold us back, but you want us to see it as not to hold you back, but see what it's trying to protect us from and try to move forward with that.
Exactly. That's it.
Okay. So moving on with the conversation about couples, and we're talking about, you know, that was a conversation that we have with ourselves, with the gremlin and all of that, but then there's communication between couples. What have you found to be some of the biggest communication problems that couples face?
You know, it's an interesting thing, Andrea. Almost to the one, every couple that shows up in my office says, we don't communicate. And so one of the first things we have to do is say, oh, well, maybe not. Maybe that's not so. Maybe you are communicating, but you're not communicating what it is that you want or need to communicate. Because we're always in communication, right? Helping them to sort of reframe that and then look at some of the reasons why they're not communicating. Often we stop communicating because we're afraid to. We're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to ask for what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we sort of hold back and expect our partner to know.
Right.
He or she ought to know what I need. Or they ought to know by now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not really putting that out there. And if we do, we do it in such a disguised way that it would be hard for somebody to recognize what we're really asking for.
Right.
So
right.
Direct, to be able to make a request of your partner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To be able to hear that request and then be able to say that back to them, you know, in other words, you know, is this what you really want? Is this what you're asking me to do? And then to move in that motion with the conversation till they get an understanding of what's being talked about.
Right. Okay. So what are the things that potentially cause the breakdown in communications? Because you said, you know, you get fearful, you think your partner should already know what you want, go on and do it. You know, what causes those breakdowns?
And I would add to that list resentment. You know, we stop talking when we get really angry and our anger turns to resentment. We're just not invested anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sort of present but absent. We're there, we're showing up, we live in the same house, we communicate about the basics, and not much else is happening. So sometimes what we have to do is uncover some of those lingering resentments and work on getting those resolved so that they're not in the way of communication.
Okay. Lingering resentment. Because people just stop talking because of resentment. So... And in that, we come to the concept of conflict, because every relationship has conflict. What do couples need to know about dealing with conflict in their relationship?
I think you just said it when you said every couple will have conflict. And there will be conflict from the beginning of that relationship through the duration of that relationship, no matter how long it is. So it's not so much a question of not having conflict, it's a question of how we manage the conflict. The couples who seem to be in the most serious trouble are not having conflict in a very observable kind of way anymore. They're so disengaged, they're not even in conflict.
Mm.
You see,
okay.
They've just backed up so much that just nothing is happening. There's no energy there at all. So
mm-hmm.
we try to help couples to see that conflict is natural and normal. It grows out of being two different people who've come together and bound their lives together in ways that they each have something to say about what's going on in the other's life. And then we talk about how to deal with conflict,
mm-hmm.
how to manage it. And that goes very much back to what we were talking about with communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is each couple is unique. And how do you help them find their unique way of dealing with conflict and communication in a way that works for them? Because you can't necessarily cookie cutter techniques
mm-hmm.
for the couple. You know what I mean?
I do. And that's an excellent question, too. I think that, well, I know that one of the things I have couples do very early on is to discuss an issue that's unresolved, not maybe their hardest issue yet, but we, you know, something that they're, you know, sort of struggling around and haven't reached a resolution. And so I observe that. And then I give them some feedback as to what I saw.
Okay.
So that's kind of helping them to become aware of patterns that they might not even be familiar with. I mean, some people are very conflict resistant, and they back up. They don't want anything to do with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
On the other extreme are people who are just gunning for it. They can't wait. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you
right.
know, and in the middle are most of us, right?
Right.
We're sort
right.
of in the middle there. So helping people become aware of their conflict style, and the theory says we all have a style, just a preferred way of dealing with conflict. And so once mm-hmm. they recognize their style, they can see how that style sort of fits with their partner's style and how it works sometimes and other times it's not working. So we become bigger than our style, in a sense.
Right. Okay, very good. And just to let my audience know that I am talking with Dr. Pauline Everett about her book, Finding and Keeping Romantic Love, Relationship Tips for People Over 50. And I'm going to move into a big one, forgiveness. Talk about the importance of the forgiveness factor for couples, because, you know, you hear things, the first one says, I'm sorry, is, you know, the bigger one, or the man has always got to say, I'm sorry first, just to let the, you know, let the lady get the last word in,
uh-huh.
or something like that. You know, there's so many little idioms and cliches about forgiveness, but you talk about that factor for couples.
Okay. I think first off, the thing that can be the hardest sometimes for people with the idea of forgiveness is they think that it must mean that that they are letting the other person off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that somehow they're co-signing whatever wrong was done. And so, you know, early on it's important to sort of recognize that that's not what it's about at all. As much as anything, it's about letting yourself off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
It's about,
mm-hmm.
you know, deciding that you don't want to carry that around anymore, that it's too
right.
heavy. And so when people can begin to move in that direction just by slightly tweaking their view of that a little bit, it opens up a whole new possibility for thinking about it. I often say that forgiveness is a huge topic. It's so much more than, you know, how we're kids and we get into something with our neighbor or maybe a sibling and adults would say, oh, just make up, shake hands and make up.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just forced to do it, you know, lips poked out, looking angry, but we'd have to go over there
right.
and say, I'm sorry. And so we've learned some pretty bad habits about forgiveness. So looking, trying to be really authentic about it, what are you able to do in terms of forgiveness? Maybe you're only at the point where you're willing to say, I'm ready to. I think I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
because readiness is a precursor to being able to do it. And then you work through that willingness. And then you get to the other stage where you're really willing to put in some grunt work in terms of, like, well, what is that going to look like? And what is that going to mean? And what is that going to mean for our relationship as we move forward? As you might anticipate, one of the biggest issues with forgiveness for couples is infidelity.
Mm-hmm,
and it's a huge one. There's lots and lots and lots of work that needs to be done, even once couples decide that they want to work through that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we really have to put on our forgiveness suit and exercise our forgiveness muscle in order to be able to work our way through that. The partner who has been aggrieved has to work through their sense of betrayal and look for ways to get some forgiveness around that. And it's interesting because sometimes the partner who was the partner who broke the trust in the relationship, there's tons of work to be done over there too, because the issue didn't just start with the infidelity.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a complicated piece, and I think the biggest takeaway is that it's a step-by-step process. It's not just a, I forgive you. It's a, I forgive you 100 times a day, maybe, once I've made the commitment to do that. And sometimes forgiveness means, I forgive you, but our, this has been such a major wound to the relationship that it's not viable anymore, but that we can each go our own way without having to carry such a heavy burden.
Right. And you have to recognize that. Moving in a different direction, are there some common problems faced by couples over 50 that younger couples may not necessarily have to face? Seeing that, in writing this book and in your research?
I think so. I think that, you know, often younger couples, there are children involved, but they can tend to be younger children, and that presents its own set of circumstances and potential for challenge. With the couples over 50, these are often adult children, and that's a whole different set of potential challenges.
Right.
You know, we're trying to extend a family or build a family now that has different sets of adult children who have different kinds of concerns. They're often concerned about whether that's the right partner for their mom or their dad. In a very practical sense, they wonder, what does that mean for property? And that's just very real.
Right.
So there are those issues. There, people over 50 have lived longer lives and had more opportunity to be wounded. And so they can often come with a number of unhealed wounds that need to be addressed in order to move forward. You know, ex-partners, failed relationships, broken trust, those sorts of things. Health challenges, you know, over 50 and probably on the far side of 50, you know, people begin to develop some challenges around health that then can pose a concern in a relationship. What's this going to mean for me? What am I signing up for? Right. Property.
Right.
Each, you know, sometimes when we're in our 20s, we got two nickels and a pot, right? So,
right.
Not much. But over 50, each person has probably accumulated some material wealth and possessions. So then that becomes, where are we going to live? We're going to live at your place. We're going to live at mine. We're going to buy a third place. So different kinds of things that need to be addressed because I think, of the people being in that stage of life.
Right, yeah. Those are all things that to take into consideration. And I especially got stuck on the part about people over 50 come with more unhealed wounds that need resolving, because we've just we've just lived longer, and you know, you tend to learn to brush over things.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a really good point that you bring out in the book. And I'm winding down now. I hate to have to wind down now. But is there any way that people can see you in person, talk about your book? Do you have any events coming up that they can get your book directly from you and get a signed copy?
Oh, I'm so happy that you ask. And unfortunately, you know, I had some publishing issues, but we're all resolved.
Mm-hmm.
The galleys were
good.
Approved last week. And so it should hit Amazon next week, week after.
Okay,
and
great.
It's available both in soft cover and, what do you call it? You know, the downloadable e-version.
E-book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I do plan to be at the library, the Detroit Public Library, the main branch, sometime soon. And people can find me on Facebook.
Okay.
And what I plan to do is to post the events there. And so
mm-hmm.
I'll be able to keep that kind of. And the Facebook page is Finding and Keeping Romantic Love.
Okay. Okay, great. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We will definitely look out for that, and I would like to be there when that happens because this is such an important book.
Thank you.
And Dr. Pauline Everett, I just want to thank you so much. I'm so glad we got it together so that you could be on the show today, and I am too.
Again, I am very appreciative. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And that was Dr. Pauline Everett talking about her book, Finding and Keeping Romantic Love, Relationship Tips for People Over 50. Be sure to look her up on Facebook under the name of the book, Finding and Keeping Romantic Love for People Over 50. That is a great book if you're in that lineup. If that resonates with you, find out what you can do to get a little love in your life, because we all want that. So again, thanks to Dr. Pauline Everett for being on the show. And that is it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network, Town Writers Network, at www.motownwriters.com. And you can find us on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff with my guest, poet Tawana Honeycomb Petty, to talk about her upcoming one-woman show and book release, Coming Out My Box. This has been Andrea Daniel for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening in. I really appreciate you for being there. I want you to have a good rest of your day and live a good story. Good night.